is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Big NFL Hour 2 here on this Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line. The show, as always, presented by DraftKings, live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and DraftKings Network. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. We're coast to coast from Jersey to Viva Las Vegas. Lots to get to over the course of the next hour. VSiN's own Adam Burke is going to join us coming up in just a little bit, get some of his best bets. We've talked to him a lot over the last week or so because he was such a key contributor to making our new VSiN NFL betting guide what it is. By the way, available right now. Use the promo code Lombardi. You'll get a special deal. But before we get into all of our NFL talk, Michael, I want to start this hour with what's on your mind. What's on Michael's mind today? What has been percolating in your brain with all of the news that's out there?
Well, my mind has been on the Lakers, and it started this morning when I saw that LeBron took a max deal for 2 years, and you know, and certainly did the Lakers a favor. I'm sure he could have got a third year guaranteed out of him, but maybe the Lakers actually put their foot down and said, no, you're 40-some years old. We're only going to charge. We're only going for two. But then the news broke that they hired Nate McMillan and Scotty Brooks as J.J. Riddick's assistant, which in theory really sounds like a great idea. But in reality, it's hard, okay? Because once again, you've got a young head coach who's just learning his way, and you've got two former head coaches who probably think they should still be head coaches who are now going to advise him on what to do, and neither of them are from the same school that they both agree on how to play basketball the same way. So, for example, if you just would have hired Nate McMillan to help JJ, he could have been the consigliere. He could have been off to the side. Then you hire two young assistants to kind of make JJ become the teacher. But now you've got a lot of opportunity for eyes to be rolled. And the one thing that kills culture more than anything is when rolling of the eyes occur. Oh, we're going to do that. Oh, we're going to do that. And you get that when you have a lot of older coaches or guys who have been head coaches. So I just think, to me, this has got, and I'm going to be interested to see what the great Will Hill thinks. I mean, he put this together. I mean, he's the mastermind behind the Lakers. So I don't know how this is all going to play out, because J.J. Riddick's learning on the job. And and to the fans, it looks like, well, he got two experienced coaches. But to the chemistry of the team, it's really hard. And then LeBron not taking the max deal, they couldn't get anybody. So the question then becomes, is this team good enough another year older to win the West with the Thunder getting as good as they got? Like, those Thunder odds, to me, that to me is the best odds out there on the table right now. They're going to be the best team in the West. They're going to prove it to be the best team in the West unless something happens. And the Lakers aren't even close to them.
Yeah, the Thunder plus 850 for the NBA championship odds. They are a co-favorite with the Denver Nuggets at 4-1 in the Western Conference. The Lakers, meanwhile, a little farther down the list at 14-1 in the West. But to your point about the experience factor, I think, yes, from the outside looking in, that's the first thing that you think of, is that's very good that you're going to have all of this experience in there helping J.J. Redick ease into and transition into this new role since he's never been a head coach before. But the perspective that you're coming with is that there's too many cooks in the kitchen potentially. And then you also throw into the conversation that LeBron James is essentially the coach in himself too, right? And that at the end of the day, if you're drawing up a play in the huddle and he doesn't like it, he's just going to grab the whiteboard from you and change it right there anyway. So he's another coach. So that's a lot of voices, a lot of potential, to your point, for the eye rolling. It will be interesting to see how this plays out. And the not taking a pay cut thing is funny, because how much does this just show how well he knows that he can manipulate the media to say, well, guys, I told you I was willing to take a pay cut if we got these pieces, if we got this guy in, I was willing to, but we didn't. So I guess I'll just take it all. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not like, okay, let's go. I'm not taking. Maybe we can get somebody later. No, give me it now.
I'll give it.
Give Kendrick Perkins credit. He said there's no way he was going to take a pay cut, and he was right. Give him credit for saying it. Sure. I mean, at least somebody on the Worldwide Leader stood up to the LeBron. I mean, it's his network. He runs it. I mean, look, LeBron got a 2-year guaranteed contract as a 55th pick overall in the draft. Now, seriously, it's unbelievable.
Michael, that's another layer to this, though. If you're the Lakers, do you not feel like you have any sense of leverage in that contract negotiation with LeBron saying, dude, we just drafted your son. Can you not, like, commit to us for, I mean, this is the, because he has the option in his deal after 1 year, we're just going to be going through this all over again next year, by the way. But couldn't they just say, we want you to commit to 2 years with us? I mean, ideally, that's the, you end your career with us. Your son is on the roster. Take a little bit of a pay cut so that we can really push toward a championship. No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm just going to get paid.
No.
It's funny to me.
And you're not, you've made no moves to make yourself better.
Correct.
You've made no moves to make yourself better. I mean, you got no chance. I mean, come on. We're kidding ourselves here. I mean, if you're a Laker fan, you know, you're sitting around there saying, oh, if this guy's healthy, it's the same thing with Sixer fans. Oh, if we stay healthy, we do this. Come on. Please stop.
Lakers 14-1 in the Western Conference, 30-1 in the NBA championship odds. Also, something that we talked about earlier in the show that is, I think, very interesting, and I'm so glad that we started to dive into it, was the start of the new Hard Knocks for the New York Giants yesterday. And the peeling behind the curtain of what it's like from their general manager, Joe Shane, is they've been trying to go through all of these decisions. I'm super excited to, when we get to the episodes that are closer to the draft, and seeing what some of their thought process was and any of those rumors that were coming out, the buyer's remorse talk that we heard about Daniel Jones. Were they going to try to mess around and get a quarterback in the draft? All these different things. But one of the big ones was certainly something we talked about, in this team not knowing what their identity is. And one scene in particular certainly stood out, that apparently neither does John Mara, the co-owner of the team, who it didn't sound like he was particularly thrilled with the idea of losing Saquon Barkley because of what he has brought to that offense. Take a listen.
Hey, we're going to do the right thing. We're going to let you hit free agency, find out your market, come back, and let us know if we can match it. If we can, you know, we'll have those discussions.
I mean, in a perfect world, I'd still like to have him back. I just, until we can prove that we can do, have a decent offense without him.
Daniel's making a lot of money, and it's the fork. Like, we got to figure out, is he the guy? So we got to protect him.
What do you think, Michael?
Figure out if he's the guy? We're still in figure out mode? See, here's the problem I have with it. You never heard once say, this guy fits our program perfectly. You never heard them say, this guy is exactly what we want a Giant to be. See, that's the verbiage you need when you're building championship teams. I promise you, if you walked around those halls in the early 80s and Parcells was running, they would say, this is a Giant type player. But you don't know that anymore. You have no idea what a Giant type player is. You know, you have no idea what it is to build a team. To me, it's a little bit about what I watch, where a lot of guys who are managers. Managers do things right. Leaders do the right thing. If there was a true leader in that building, the leader would have said, if we don't improve a quarterback, we're in trouble. And we can't, and even he said it, past performance predicts future achievement. And yet he's going to roll the dice with Daniel Jones and his injury history and Drew Locke as the backup. Like, it makes no sense. I don't care how many peanut butter and jelly sandwiches you eat on the way to work. I really don't. Like, it makes no sense at all. Like, leaders would have walked in there. Bill Walsh would have walked in there and said, look, here's what we're doing. Here's the plan. Here's who we are. He wouldn't have relied on Shane Walden to come in there and tell him exactly what we're going to do or what the defense looks like. No, this is who we are. Here's the standard of performance. Here's what we're going to look like on offense. Here's what we're going to look like on defense. I mean, they're talking about the tight end, Waller, as if he's still going to be on the team, and everybody in the league knew he wanted to retire. They just spent 8 months with Waller and his rap music, and they're still thinking he's going to come back. Like, it was, to me, again, this is what happens when you bring the cameras in, right? You end up showing yourself, are you really know what's going on? Are you in tune? You're a nice guy, no question. You worked your way up the ladder, no question. But do you understand how to build a championship-level team? It's not when you're sitting there and say, we got to find out. No, you get paid to know. You went to every practice. You watched 9 games. You can watch every single game of him against the Eagles, Daniel Jones, and every single game against the Giants and say, is this good enough? Like, that's what you get paid to do. That's what you're paying $3 million a year, is to figure out what's good and what's great. There's enough guys in North Jersey that could tell you the guy's no good.
And ultimately, that final statement of Daniel's making a lot of money and we got to figure out if he's the guy, that stands out so much because we have a sample size. It's not like this is a player that you've only seen for 1 or 2 years. We have 5 years of evidence of what Daniel Jones is. Of that time, he has one season of decent performance, where you were playing a last place schedule and where you had the situation was much easier. And again, to your point, like, you had Saquon Barkley, who basically did everything in the offense. And I understand what Joe Shane's talking about from a protection standpoint of trying to upgrade the offensive line and make it better. But this is an organization has been trying to do that for a decade. And even when you've been drafting high caliber players on paper, you haven't been able to develop them into anything. So, okay, yeah, let's continue to invest in an area that we never seem to have any success out of, no matter what we do, and rely on this quarterback to protect that. But this isn't a quarterback that can do that. So I understand both angles. I struggle with the thought that Daniel Jones can be the guy. But we have one more minute left, and I want to ask you about one more thing that we saw in Hard Knocks. The Brian Burns trade talk that began between Joe Shane and Dan Morgan at the Senior Bowl on the sideline. That was so interesting. Is that really how things play out sometimes, where you just casually in conversation, BSing, say, oh, hey, like, how about 2 1s for Brian Burns? Would you do it? Oh, no, probably. What about a 1 1 of this? Is that how things play out? Is that real?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially as those two are so close together.
Yeah.
So, you know, that, like, they know there's no poker playing going on here. They know each other really well. But, you know, I think, to me, let's go back a year ago. Joe gave Daniel Jones the $40 million. He had to know something about him to give him the $40 million. Last year, they franchised Saquon. See, here's what happens. We're watching it this year without the lens of last year, and the same people were there last year. Like, what happened to that? Like, why wouldn't somebody say, but Joe, why did we franchise Saquon if we're just going to let him go? What, the market has changed that much? You can't pay a running back $12 million. Why did we pay him last year?
I personally loved watching it. I'm very excited to see how the rest of the offseason developed behind the scenes. The New York Giants season win total, by the way, 6.5, juice to the under.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The wait is over, ladies and gentlemen. Our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide is out now. Never a better time than right now to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Our all-new guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming season, with in-depth profiles of each and every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, betting trends, and a whole lot more. Plus, of course, our experts are sharing their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you all the insight you need ahead of the season. To get the guide, though, you need to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. And for a limited time, we are offering our annual subscription at a great price, usually $240 for the year. You can subscribe now for just $199. And when you use our promo code Lombardi, we're also throwing in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do. So in addition to the guide, you're getting the daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits, and more. Don't miss out. Get our all-new NFL betting guide today. VSiN.com/subscribe is how you can come join us and use that promo code Lombardi for 13 months of VSiN Pro access. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And speaking of the NFL betting guide, who better to have on the desk with us than VSiN managing editor Adam Burke, who joins us live in studio here at Circa. Michael, and we've been breaking down so many different elements of this guide. This is the guy that somehow wrangled everybody to put the whole thing together. How you doing?
I'm good. Good to be here. I know the last person I waited on was you to send in your picks.
Whoa.
I did a good job of wrangling until I got to you.
Oh, no.
I'm kidding. You were
really?
The last one.
I did wait till the deadline, Michael, I will say. But we got it in there. I did what I was told to do. I met deadlines, and that's what we're all
the
about.
The college
here
football
in this
deadline
business.
Is tomorrow, just so you know.
Stop. That's not funny. Okay, let's get into some of the bets, though, because you obviously, in addition to managing everyone else, you have a couple that you wrote up in the article as well, talking about some awards markets. Was there one bet in particular that excited you most?
Yeah, I think there's one that excites me just for a variety of different reasons. I think it's really interesting to talk about, for one thing, but also I think it's a pretty good bet to make, which is Keon Coleman to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. You know, when you look at the Buffalo Bills, obviously they have Josh Allen, they have their quarterback very much in place, a veteran guy who's got really good numbers and a good track record, but who is he going to throw the football to this season? No Stephon Diggs, no Gabe Davis. Those two guys combined for 30 of the 66 red zone targets for the Bills last year. So somebody's going to have to get those. And I think Keon Coleman could be the guy to get them. And it's crazy to think, Stormy, you had six quarterbacks in the first round, seven wide receivers in the first round. You would think that it's hard to avoid, you know, the landmine of one of those 13 guys. But I think Coleman's going to have the opportunity. I think he has the quarterback. I think he has a Bills team that's going to have to keep throwing, going to have to try to keep putting points up on the board as they're kind of in a bit of a transitional phase defensively. So the other thing, yeah, when you talk about these awards markets, right, you have to handicap the voters. Keon Coleman is an engaging personality, had some viral sound bites around the draft. People like him. I think that will continue. So if his numbers are similar to somebody else at the wide receiver position, I think Coleman's got a good chance of kind of being a head up because maybe the voters will decide to prioritize him.
And then you add the fact that Buffalo can win. And if they're winning, that always helps the voters too. And if he's making critical plays on national TV, that helps the voters too. So I buy into that as well. So let's, the MVP race is always fascinating to me. But and I've heard some people talk about Goff as the NFL MVP, even after coming off that contract. But you think that's a really good bet at 40-1. I think it's a great bet at the NFL MVP at 40-1.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think that, you know, when you look at the pricing of the MVP market, I mean, Goff is a guy who, in a lot of ways, played like a top five quarterback in the NFL last year. And I know that there are some people out there saying, okay, well, Goff had a really good season. The Lions had a great season. You know, obviously hosted a playoff game. They kind of set some standards that the team, the organization haven't had in a long period of time. And Goff didn't really get a lot of respect for it. You know, that he didn't get any MVP votes. But I think now if he's able to put this thing together for a second straight year, people won't think of it as just an outlier. They'll think of it as, you know what? Maybe this is what Jared Goff is now. And he gets to run it back for a third year with the OC Ben Johnson. I think that's a good thing. His on-target percentage was over 80% last year in year two of this offense. He's got more of Jahmyr Gibbs. He's going to have more of Jameson Williams. He's got a lot of weapons here. Well, on a Detroit team that I think has to keep throwing the football. The other thing is 14 of 17 games in domes for Jared Goff this season. Only one game that looks like it's definitely going to have bad weather, December 22nd in Chicago. Who knows what that could be like. Yeah. But his other road games outside, Green Bay in early November, and then San Francisco in Santa Clara in late December. So the schedule also sets up really well for Goff to not have any of those really bad games that could take him out of the running.
Yeah, the numbers speak for themselves with him indoors, right? And just three true outdoor games, that's crazy to think about. Plus, to your point, though, the weapons that he has at his disposal, really good offensive line. Ben Johnson sticks around, one of the most coveted coordinators in the league right now. And we expect this Lions team to be good, so it makes sense for him to continue to have success and put up numbers in that offense. Okay, so we talked offensive rookie of the year. You also had a longer shot in the offense, in the defensive rookie of the year market. Who stood out?
Yeah, so, you know, the defensive rookie of the year market is pretty challenging. And, you know, along with giving some of my opinions here in these best bet articles for the awards markets, I also gave some background of the types of players that win these things, right? Especially in terms of rookie of the year, where, you know, visibility is such a big deal. If you're drafted high, people know who you are, right? They remember the name. So sometimes they'll just kind of default to voting for somebody like that. And when you think about, you know, the defensive rookie of the year market, 9 of the last 10 winners have been top 20 picks. But this year, with the way that the draft shook out, there's only 4 players that fit that mold, fit that definition. So I think you can kind of look around a little bit for some longer shots here in this defensive rookie of the year market. And one of them that I like, actually, is Darius Robinson at 35-1. So when Jonathan Gannon was the defensive coordinator of the Eagles, you know, 2 years ago, they had 70 sacks, right? He knew how to get a lot out of guys like Javon Hargrave, Hassan Reddick, Josh Sweat. I think a guy like Robinson, who is a pretty good pass rusher, I think it's a guy that could go out there and put up some numbers, you know, because like I said, a lot of times it's not necessarily about performance. It's just kind of about people being aware of you. And if Robinson's in this Cardinals defense with a brilliant defensive mastermind in Gannon, I think he has the opportunity to get some sacks. The Cardinals invested very heavily in the defensive line this offseason. So Robinson might be a little bit of a part of a rotation, but still keeping guys fresh allows them to get after the passer more. So I think Darius Robinson at 35-1 is a really, really interesting player here where we don't have a big name like Will Anderson who won it last year.
Yeah, I mean, look, the only thing that would concern me, Adam, about that is can they play from in front? Is he going to get the opportunity to rush, right? I think that's always critical when you're trying to get predict of going in that area with a rusher and a defensive lineman. But I like your other one. I like your Goff long-term, long shot selection. And I think the Sirianni one, Nick Sirianni, coach of the year at 40-1. I like that as well, because what I like about it, and I'd love to hear your explanation, is that, you know, he almost got replaced. And so, you know, now he's got to overcome that. You know, he was almost fired, but he saved his job. And if he has the season that we think they could have, that certainly does put him in position to win this award.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, if he's able to orchestrate a really big turnaround here, which is kind of what I'm hoping for, where, you know, again, they were 10-1, right? I mean, they were up there in terms of the favorites to win the Super Bowl and all that, and they completely collapsed. Well, if he's able to turn things around here, I think he gets some credit for that. Now, I will say this. When you look at the Coach of the Year market, it is typically a first, second-year guy, something like that, who orchestrates a really big turnaround. That would not be Nick Sirianni. And it is hard to win this award when you're on a team that's already good anyway. So you really have to be a team that goes maybe like a 14-3, 13-4, best record in the NFL, something like that. But I think that it is possible for Sirianni to do that. The other thing here is I'm kind of taking a price early on in the offseason here, right? If the Eagles are really, really good, Sirianni is going to start dropping from 40-1 to 30-1 on down from there. And I think you look at a guy like Raheem Morris, for example, a lot of people like him, understandably so. The Falcons have a lot of talent. He could be a guy that gets the most out of that team. But they start the season with the Eagles on the road, the Chiefs at home within the first three games. If the Falcons are 1-2, 0-3, something like that, you're going to get a better in-season number on Morris than you're currently getting. So I think that's also something you want to factor into the equation, is that you're kind of taking some positions here in the preseason markets, but as the season goes along, some of these numbers may get better on some of these guys. Like if a Mike McDonald struggles out of the gate, well, maybe he'll be at, you know, 25, 30-1, a little bit better than the price in the market now. So that's kind of what I'm looking at here. And also, I mean, Philadelphia's early season schedule is very, very weak. I think they have a good chance of being the number one seed in the NFC. And if that is the case, then Sirianni is going to get some love here in this market.
In the Coach of the Year market, Jim Harbaugh was the favorite. It's currently Matt Eberflus at 9-1, and Harbaugh is tied with Robert Saleh at 11-1 as the second shortest shot. Does that surprise you a bit?
Well, no, not because of the history of this award, right? I mean, the Jets won 7 games last year. So if the Jets improve by 4 or 5 wins with Aaron Rodgers back, that's kind of one of the benchmarks that you see in terms of winning this award.
But does Saleh get credit for that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it's a fair question to ask. But, I mean, you know, look, again, you just kind of look at this award. If you improve by 4 or 5 wins, you get the benefit of the doubt, whether it's you or whether it's Rodgers coming back or whatever. So I do think it's really tough for Saleh to win it. And also, I mean, Eberflus, there's just no value on that price, I don't think, much like there's no value on anything in the futures market over for the Bears.
Like, Harbaugh absolutely, I thought, made a ton of sense to be the shortest shot on the board. So to see those odds move around with the names that have leapfrogged him are very interesting to me. You are awesome, as always. Thank you, Adam.
Glad to be here.
Adam Burke, follow him on X at Skating Tripods, managing editor of VSiN.com. You can catch all the work, obviously, on the website. And make sure, if you haven't yet, you get the guide, VSiN.com/guide. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you haven't already, make sure you check out the new and improved VSiN.com. We've got all of our VSiN show hosts and guests with their best bets each and every day. Betting splits, we know you want to see where the money is going. Exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides, and so much more. Speaking of guides, no better time than now to head to VSiN.com/guide. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber. You get our all-new NFL betting guide, 84 pages of all the need-to-know information to get you caught up for this NFL season. VSiN.com. Head over today. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome you back into this Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. And because, you know, this is the time of year, Michael, where there's only so much you can really dive into storyline-wise. We're still waiting for NFL training camps to get underway in a couple of weeks. But contracts are always top of mind, and it's always a discussion. And with that, especially for me as a 49ers fan, I think a couple of examples, like Deebo Samuel, for example, when he was going through his contract negotiation, he said that impacted his performance on the field. So there are a few players I want to go through with you and see if, as they're going through their contract negotiations, if they're a player that you're willing to buy in or not when it comes to 2024. So today's edition of Gridiron Goldilocks is guys looking for deals, and we might as well start at the Star in Dallas with Dak Prescott. His over-under for passing yards set at 4,150 and a half yards. Passing touchdowns, 30 and a half. He's a 17-1 shot to win MVP. And this is a Dallas Cowboys team with high expectations. As always, a win total set at 10 and a half and a plus 150 shot, second shortest shot in the division. When you look at all of these numbers surrounding Dak Prescott, would you say that they're too high, too low, or about just right in terms of your expectations for this quarterback?
Well, you know, he's coming off the best year he's had in his career with Mike McCarthy as the play caller. I know that's shocking without Kellen Moore there, but that's what it was. To me, what I worry about is their offensive line, right? I worry about the CD Lamb holdout. I'm not worried about Dak's contract as much, but I am worried about everybody's focus and concentration, whether it's Parsons, whether it's Lamb. You wonder why the Cowboys, you know, just haven't really done something, because he takes up so much of their cap space. They could easily have extended them and lowered the cap number, but obviously they know something I don't know. They're pretty smart there. So I think these numbers are right. I think they're just right on. I don't think I would bet any of them, though. Like, I don't think there's an advantage to the better, whether it's pizza money, whether it's substantial money here, because, you know, he's done it before, but I don't get the sense they're the same team as they were last year.
And to your point, like, even the season win total at 10.5, I know you're getting plus money on the over, but they are playing a first place schedule coming off of last year, winning the division. The MVP odds, I don't really have interest in, even though obviously he was right there this past season behind Lamar Jackson to earn the award. I think if you do feel like he's going to be healthy, it would be natural to lean over on his passing yards and passing touchdowns. The last three seasons that he has actually played 16 plus games, he's gone over those numbers significantly, especially the passing yards prop sitting there. But there's just a lot of outlying factors, and especially like we talk about from the contract standpoint and your head coach on a lame duck year, it seems a little bit more interesting to just stay away from this team than to bet on them. But with that in mind, his star wide receiver is going under contract situation as well. CeeDee Lamb trying to figure out if he can get a deal done. Do you feel the same way about his numbers?
Yeah. I mean, this is hard. I mean, you often talk about Deebo Samuel missing all that time and having the contract bother him in his last year. I think this is going to be an effect. This could affect him. He's already said he's not coming to camp. He has a contract. He's going to get fined, you know. And now I think because it's the rookie contract, he doesn't have to pay the fines. It's like Bosa. They could forgive the fines if he does that. So maybe the Cowboys will, but it should not be a hard contract to do. Right? If they wanted to do it, like, the Cowboys could do this deal with Lamb. I mean, they could look at the Jefferson deal and kind of plot that accordingly, spread it differently, handle it, you know, how they treat the initial money that's still on the board and what they do with it, lowers cap number. There's a lot of ways to go here, but it doesn't seem like the Cowboys have any sense of urgency to spend cash. You have to call it like you see it. And so I don't know if I would touch any of these. If I leaned anywhere, I'd lean under.
He did have a career year last season, of course, had the second most receiving yards in the league with 1,749. This prop where we're sitting at for his receiving yards at 1,350 and a half, he's gone over each of the last 2 years, under the 2 years prior. That receiving touchdowns number at 9.5, he's only exceeded that once. So I would certainly lean under there. And I think that's why the juice is at minus 120. Offensive player of the year, he's a 9-1 shot. Okay, we talked about one 49ers receiver. How about the one that's a big question mark this season in Brandon Ayuk, who is trying to figure out if he can get a deal done, although it does not appear that will be the case with San Francisco. His receiving yards prop set at 950 and a half. The touchdowns at 5.5. And obviously this is a 49ers team that should he be on the roster like we all hope and expect, has a ton of high expectations. They're the second shortest shot to win a Super Bowl. They're a massive near $2 favorite to win the division, and their win total is set at 11.5. Too high, too low, just right for Brandon Ayuk in San Francisco.
Well, I think it's too low. I think he, you know, he said he's coming to camp, right? He said he's going to play it. You know, the receiving touchdown one to me at 5.5 seems to jump out. I think that's too low. I think he's going to be, I think he is going to become more and more involved into the offense, and we'll see less of, I'm not saying less of Deebo, but I think the ball working on the outside will become more and more involved. And I think it's really going to help him. I think I think because he's coming to camp, I think he's going to be there and be as an effective player for him this year.
I was surprised as well. That touchdown number is the one that stood out at 5.5. He had 8 touchdowns in 2022, 7 this past season, and what was a career year for him overall. So clearly he is very trusted and he is that deep field threat. Tua Tagovailoa, another guy we've talked a lot about. Someone who lost a significant amount of weight this past season, which does give me, at least personally as a bettor, a little bit of concern for his health and if he'll be able to stand tall, considering he's only had one complete healthy season in the league, and it was last year when he did bulk up. His passing yards prop set at 4,100.5, passing touchdowns 25.5. He's a 25-1 shot for MVP this coming season. As you look at those numbers, too high, too low, or just right?
You know, this one's the hard one. I think this is tied to Tyreek Hill, too, because if Tyreek Hill's not here, these numbers are too high. And if Tyreek Hill is not happy or not under – I mean, these numbers are too high.
Is there any world where Tyreek wouldn't be back? Is that real to you?
Well, I mean, I think you got to count on what's going to happen with the contract, right? And what's going to happen with his contract, Tua. You know, I think they got to handle those two things. The other thing is, too, is I think people understand how they have to play him. You know, they understand what they have to do to take him out. I think to me, a lot of this is Hill going to be the same guy? I think it's a tad too high. I really do.
Interesting. Of course, Tua Tagovailoa led the league in passing yards this past season. But to your point, his success is very much so tied to that of Tyreek Hill, who is also looking for a new contract as we put his numbers up here. The receiving yards total, while this past year, obviously over 1,700, the prop set at just 1,375.5. His receiving touchdowns number at 9.5. He's a 7-1 favorite to win Offensive Player of the Year here. In terms of his numbers, now this is a good chunk lower than what we saw last year. Do you think he stays healthy? Do you think that he and Tua have the same success? So I guess it's the same question that we had about Tagovailoa there. What do you think about his numbers?
Well, I think his numbers, if he's healthy and they do the contract, then I think you always... You know, you worry about him. He would have made the 2,000 yards last year, and I don't think he's lost anything, Stormy. So I would say they're too low, but he's got to stay healthy, right? And Tua's got to stay healthy. Here, for him, it's even Tua has to stay healthy, and we're not sure about that, right? We didn't mention Tua's health in the last one. He's played 1 year out of the 4 healthy, and now he's trimmed down his body, and he looks completely different. So to me, you know, Hill's not going over if the quarterback's hurt. I could tell you, Mike White comes in, it's going to be a different game.
100%. Their success is very much so tied together. But I will credit Tyreek Hill that even when he was injured last season, he still, what did he play? He still played 15, 16 games, probably. Right? So, like, he's still playing games and he'll be important. But, yeah, the numbers will be significantly different. Their success is so tied to each other. One last one here real quickly. Jordan Love in year 2 is the starting quarterback in Green Bay. His passing yards, 3,900.5, 27.5, the touchdown number. He's a pretty short shot for MVP at 14-1. Too high, too low, or just right?
I think it's probably a little too low. I think if he's gonna be the player we think he is, or everybody seems to think, or what Josh Jacobs thinks, then I think it's too low. You know, look, these numbers – Daniel Jones has never even got to these numbers. Think about that. And he's made $100 million. Think about it. This is how ridiculous it is. Think about this. Daniel Jones hasn't even gotten to these numbers.
I want to go through his game log. I don't think that I have enough time. See, he's got multiple 3 touchdown games, which is something that Daniel Jones also hasn't done since 2019. Might as well just throw that out there as well. Just fun, food for thought. I can't handle it. But honestly, Michael, that's why I'm so intrigued by Hard Knocks. I loved episode 1. I can't wait to follow the rest of the offseason through the combine and the draft and everything. It's going to be glorious. Cannot wait. Okay, we're wrapping things up with a special edition of Why Not Wednesday like we always do. Can we get Michael to turn that head and say, why not? I think that's worth a bet. We'll be right back.
Yeah. This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide. This thing is jam-packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter, including in-depth previews of all 32 teams with win total projections for each one, new quarterback and new head coach breakdowns, Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, plus, of course, futures bets from our VSiN experts and analysts, including awards markets like MVP, Rookie of the Year, and Coach of the Year. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or you're just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. Head to vsin.com/guide to get your copy now of our all-new NFL betting guide. That's vsin.com/guide. We're wrapping things up here on the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. Time for our pro tip of the day, and we do these each and every day here at VSiN, searchable on vsin.com by sport and by show. And something that we talked about a little earlier in the program, Michael, was college football, specifically the Utah Utes. They're a team that I am particularly high on this season. But entering a new conference where the schedule difficulty is significantly different. So our pro tip here, there could be an opportunity as you're looking at some of these futures in college football on teams that are changing conferences, especially if their style of play may surprise opponents. And you said earlier too, Michael, this is a Utah team under Kyle Whittingham that is known for their physicality, a style that some teams in the Big 12 aren't going to be used to.
Yeah, no question. And I think to me, you know, the other thing is they play a, you know, if you study college football like you do, you know Utah plays a different style of football, right? The Pac-12 isn't just soft and lax. I mean, they've won the title two out of the last 3 years. Last year, because Cam Rising got hurt, they weren't there to compete for it at the end. But they're typically a tough-minded team. And usually when you're talking about the Big 12, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to it, but tough-minded isn't always the case when you talk about that league, right? So I do think it's the perfect course for them. I actually thought they would – they're more of a Big Ten team to me. They've always been a Big Ten team to me. That's why they've given Ohio State trouble in the Rose Bowl. You know, they wear down at the end. But this is a team under Whittingham. They've never had a top 10 recruiting class ever. This is about development of players. This is about getting guys that fit their culture. They – unlike the New York Football Giants, the University of Utah knows what they want. They know, like, there's a Utah-type player out there that they know at every position.
That's such a good way to bring back our conversation that's been a theme of this entire show with the New York Giants, because 100%, this is a Utah franchise organization, whatever you want to call them, program, that knows exactly what they want. They recruit to it and they develop, and it's so, so, so culture based. But I'm a big fan of the Utes this year. I'm buying what they are selling. Anything that has a plus sign in front of it, you're going to find in my account for sure. Okay, last couple of minutes here. Let's close out the show on a Wednesday like we always do with a little Why Not Wednesday.
Question. Maybe a stupid one, but I'm just spitballing here.
Can it make you say why not?
That wasn't a stupid question.
It's time for Why Not Wednesday.
I mean, why not?
You know when they say it's so crazy it just might work?
So we talked a lot about the decision from the New York Giants to move on from Saquon Barkley. Well, he has a new home with the Philadelphia Eagles. Could you say why not, Michael, to Barkley having the most rushing yards in the National Football League this season? It's a plus 650 price. Bet 100, win 650.
You know, I you can easily get me to say why not. Now, let me give you some reasons to say, to say no to this is because you're trusting that the offense will run the football. You'll trust that Kellen Moore will call runs. If you do that, if you believe that, then I think he can lead the league in rushing, because for where everything that happens, I think the Eagles want Jalen Hurts to be successful. That's the most important thing. The owner wants him to be successful, and they're going to do everything in their power, and they can't be put the game on his shoulders. They've got to be able to run the football effectively and utilize Barkley's skill. And I think the only thing that could hold him back would be an injury, which he's been able to deal with all the time.
See if he can stay healthy and have a monster season in Philadelphia. I'm sure the Eagles would certainly like it. How about Brian Burns, one of the newer Giants? He comes over from the Carolina Panthers this offseason. For him to have the most sacks in the league, it's a pretty big number. 50-1, long shot price. Would you be willing to take a shot on Brian Burns in that defense?
No, no chance. No way. You're not getting me to say why not on this one. Because, look, here's what I think you have to understand about sacks. You've got to be in the lead to get sacks. You have to play from in front. You know, in the first hour, we talked about the Eagles and how they had 70 sacks 1 year. And, you know, Adam Burke talked about it. And then the second hour, I'm sorry, he talked about how the Eagles had 70 sacks in 1 year. 60 came from their defensive front. Well, they had 204 points scored in the second quarter. They played from in front in every single game. They went into halftime with 10-point leads in most games. And when you can do that, all of a sudden now, you know, you're well ahead of the curve. So I don't see that for the Giants. I don't think the Giants are going to be playing from in front in a lot of games. I think they're going to try to have to win games in the fourth quarter.
I think that perhaps the most repeated phrase on the show today is, I don't know how the Giants are going to score points. And I think that producer Elliot...
They do.
Right, apparently. I think producer Elliot might be taunting us a little bit with this next one, because this is a St. Jude's play if I've ever seen it. Daniel Jones, comeback player of the year, 20-1. Those odds are not nearly long enough for me, Michael.
It's a really comical. Yeah, there's no way. 20-1? I mean, look, Jared Goff is 40-1 to win the MVP. And Daniel Jones, a comeback player, 20. Look, if the Lions have the number one seed and they're having their offense as good as we think they can be, then Jared Goff is going to be in the MVP conversation. Let's be honest. I mean, he's going to be there. And if they get the one seed and have the best record in the NFL, NFC, there's a good chance that has a better chance of hitting at 40-1 than Danny Boy coming back at 20-1 on comeback player of the year.
I feel like that 40-1 is just a misprice, considering the level of success we anticipate the Lions to have. This is a misprice in a bad way. Like, Daniel, this should not be this low, in my opinion. I understand that he only played a handful of games last year. And if he were to have a wonderful season, it's not going to happen. We're going to stay in the division, though, for this next one. The NFC East to have the most wins combined in the NFL this season is plus 950. We expect that, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys are regular season warriors, how they've tended to win games the last 3 years. The Eagles, we expect to be good, win the division this year. So it's, can the Giants and Commanders put enough up there for this to hit plus 950 again? Could you say why not for the NFC East to have the most combined wins?
Well, I don't have a choice on what else can I have. Could I have the, you know, I feel like, can I buy an A? Can I buy an E? Can I buy a G? You know, like, I would like to have the AFC North as having the most wins, but I don't know the price on that. You know, that's what I'd like to buy. Could I buy that one? I don't know the price on that one. They just give me this price. It's like, I am like, I can only get door number one. Elliot's
you
only
want
gonna
the
give
AFC
me door
North?
Number one.
You want the AFC North? It's the
what's that price?
It's a plus 225 favorite. That wasn't enough for our list.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, then I would say why not to this. This would be a why not. I mean, he's giving me a good price. Okay, I'll take door number three. I'll go to Aruba. Then
here,
you know, why not?
Here,
I'll
Michael,
take that
I'll,
deal.
I'll hit you with the odds here for this market. AFC North plus 225, NFC North plus 330, AFC East 5-1, NFC West plus 550. AFC West 9-1, NFC East, as we just referenced, plus 950, so among the longer shots. And then the AFC and NFC South are 14 and 16-1. Any of those divisions call to you? We can't go with the favorite. If we're doing a Why Not Wednesday, we can't go
right,
with the favorite.
I would go with the AFC. I would go with the AFC South here. I would play that before I'd play the NFC East, because I think all those teams are going to, because we're throwing darts, and I think all of them are, when you're in a dart contest, like, I don't think the Giants or the Washington Commanders are going to be any good. So, like, I don't think they're going to add to the pot. Plus, I'm worried about Dallas. I would take the AFC South. If he would have given me that option in door number three,
wow,
I'd have been all over that. I'd have sold that.
Michael
right
Lombardi says, take your plus 950. I want a 14-1 on the AFC South. There we go.
Why not?
Another 14.
Why not? I mean, say they're all not. I'm counting on them all being 9-8, you know. And you had up three, you know, that's 27 wins right there.
Elliot, that was such a good why not from Michael there. Why not? We got to add that one to the open. That was money. Why not? Last one here quickly. While we're on a 14-1 price, Jordan Love, MVP, 14-1, can we get on board? Can we get one more? Why not?
No, I couldn't go there on him. I think if Jordan Love wins, there's a reason why they signed Josh Jacobs. There's a reason why they wanted more power. Mm-hmm. I think Jordan Love's going to help them win. I like Jordan Love. but I can't. Now, I cannot believe you didn't ask me why not on Bronny James. Like, I can't believe 10-1 for Bronny James
answer.
To score 20 points in any. I mean, that's ridiculous. That number should be 100-1 on Bronny James to score 20 points. Are you kidding me?
He only needs 20 points.
I got to go on vacation. I have to go. I'm taking tomorrow off just because of that. I'm going to celebrate the 4th of July just because of that.
Did you?
How can that be 10-1? He's not scoring 20. He's not going to be playing.
Did you watch any of his press conference, by the way? Hilarious.
No, I feel bad for the kid. I do.
I'm sure, Michael. That's a wrap for today. We will miss you. Enjoy the 4th. We'll see everybody tomorrow.
Good luck with the hot dogs tomorrow, Stormy.
I'm going to need it.